Title of the message today, Arm Yourself. I invite your attention to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. And I want you to know, you need this message today. Okay? I need this message today. So I challenge you, as we read it, focus on the text that we read. Okay? Focus on what Jesus has to say through His Word. And I would invite you now to stand with me as we read about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you because you are God. Lord, we realize how serious the battle is that's raging in the world today. The battle of good and evil. The battle of Christian and non-Christian. The attacks, Lord, that are going on in your church and throughout your people around the world. But Lord, we know your word is true. And we need, Lord, you to equip us. So help us to be mindful. Help us to take on the armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the treachery and the deceitfulness of Satan. All for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Most people do not understand the idea of spiritual warfare. Most people think that if I do right, and I go to church, and I'm a good person, then my life is going to all be good. That's not correct. As a matter of fact, that's a lie. Okay? As a matter of fact, if you do right, and you go to church, and you live your faith, you very quickly become a target of the enemy, which is Satan. And, you know, people think today, when that attack comes, and we're just blindsided or we're just overwhelmed, we think, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? I will tell you why it's happening to you. Because you're a child of God, and as such, Satan literally hates you, and his desire is to destroy you. That's why Paul writes about this spiritual armor. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. First thing we're going to talk about is the soldier's attire and complete protection. Listen, I want you to know from the very beginning, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. You have got to prepare in advance before you get to the battlefield. Okay? You cannot get to the battlefield, take a few hits, and then decide, oh, I've got to put on the armor of God. It doesn't work that way. That's kind of similar to having a car crash and then deciding, I need to wear my seatbelt. It doesn't work, right? That's why Paul's saying, look, you put on the whole armor of God. You are responsible. You're the one that has to prepare for the battle that's coming your way. And you've got to use every part of this armor. This isn't a pick and choose what you want. This is the whole armor of God. Okay? You can't leave off things that you don't like. You've got to take it all. And you've also got to know that conventional weapons will not work. Okay? Conventional weapons will not work. One of the greatest movies of all time, True Grit. I'm not talking about the yuppie version from 5 or 6 years ago. I'm talking John Wayne. that's just a movie. Of course, I'm a John Wayne fan, okay? But the best part of that movie, John Wayne, who played Rooster Cogburn, an old Marshal, U.S. Marshal, wearing a patch over one eye, and he was rough and he was gruff. And Rooster Cogburn had spent the entire movie looking for Lucky Ned Pepper. He had been chasing the guy, and to bring it all down to one spot that I want to get you to, John Wayne is at one end of this valley. Lucky Ned Pepper and his gang are at the other end of this valley. And John Wayne, or Rooster Cogburn, if you will, he calls out to Lucky Ned Pepper and the gang, and he says, I mean to kill you in 1 minute, Ned, or see you hang in Fort Smith at Judge Parker's convenience. Which'll it be? That's word for word, by the way. Lucky Ned Pepper yells back at Rooster and says, I call that bold talk for a one-eyed fat man. And then Rooster Cogburn yells back to him, fill your hands, you blankety blank. We'll not finish that last part of that sentence, right? But I want you to know Rooster Cogburn takes those reins and he puts them in his teeth. And he's got that Winchester repeating rifle in one hand. He's got his six shooter in the other. And he's got the reins in his hands and in his mouth. And he begins to ride toward Lucky Ned Pepper and his gang. Well, as it turns out, Lucky Ned Pepper wasn't so lucky. He winds up killing the whole group. That's when men were men. John Wayne comes on anymore. Bess says, are you going to watch that? Yes. You've seen it before, so? It's John Wayne. That worked in True Grit. It don't so much work in spiritual warfare. But that's what we do. We get our guns blazing, put the reins in our mouth, and here we go at the enemy and fighting, yelling, screaming, and then we're surprised. It don't work. You see, we use weapons like selfishness, bitterness, hatred, anger. Getting even, do it to them before they do it to you. And it doesn't work. As a matter of fact, it does more damage than it does good. Have you ever heard of friendly fire? Sometimes in church there's friendly fire where the members are hit by other members, you know? I'll tell you what, there's no such thing as friendly fire. If you're in a war situation and it doesn't matter whose bullet the gun came, or whose gun the bullet came from, it still will kill you. So don't be deceived and think, boy, you can fight like the world fights, and because you'll fail. You will fail. And that why Paul, he doesn't say arm yourself with bitter tongues and angry words or harsh, hurtful actions. He says arm yourself with the armor of God. You see, we have an enemy. And this enemy is not people. Did you know that? This enemy is not people. As a matter of fact, Paul said, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and in the heavenly places. Now, I want to tell you what. Sometimes I get confused. And somebody says something to me and makes me angry. And who do you think you are? I don't have to take that from you. But when I stop and think, I'm reminded that's not the enemy. That's old Satan himself that's the enemy. Working outside, you know, outside the church. You ever get angry at people outside the church? I want to fight back and go in with my guns blazing and, you know, you don't treat me that way. I hate talking on the telephone to salespeople and trying to get business done on the telephone. And, to be honest with you, it stresses me out. By the time I actually talk to a live person, I'm angry. Ever been there and done that? And I just know that by the time I'm talking to that live person and I've pushed buttons and everything and I get to there and she starts asking me the information they wanted me to press in the first place, that the love of God just spills out over that phone line into their life. No, it really doesn't, right? I'm ready to blow up, you know. What are y'all doing? Why couldn't we just take care of this in the beginning? And y'all are... Those people are not my enemy. Other church members. You know? Sister churches. Not the enemy. Republicans and Democrats. Whichever you may be. If you're a Democrat, I want you to know Republicans are not the enemy. If you're a Republican, Democrats are not the enemy. It's not even about conservative and liberal. It is a battle that has gone on since the beginning of time. And it is supernatural. It is Satan. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. It's talking about Satan and his band of evil demons. And he's doing the same thing today in the lives and society of humanity that he did in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. He calls God a liar. And he fills us with hate and bitterness. And you know, even to the point where there are people in this world I would gravely disagree with, lifestyles and choices that they make. Oh boy, I would disagree and stand from the highest mountain and say, that is wrong. But you know the danger? The danger is when I stand from the highest mountain and say, that is wrong, you are terrible, and begin to spew hate and bitterness toward them, I'll never win them. And I just lost the spiritual battle. You see? You see the point? Nowhere does Paul say, arm yourself with anger arm yourself with shouting matches and debates. No. We're given two commandments in the Bible. The two most important commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And everything else is built around those two things. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. Oh, I do understand. You see, God has put us here to exchange good for evil. Yeah. For love, for bitterness. Now, I'm not suggesting that we put our stamp of approval on things that are ungodly. No. But I am suggesting we got to know how to fight. And if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to fight according to the rules that God has set forth in His Word. And that is, of course, the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 that we read about. The armor that starts with truth. Okay? It says, gird your loins with truth. Now what it meant for a soldier to gird his loins is he would wear a leather belt around his waist and he would pick up his attire, if you will, and stick it in that belt so it kept it out of the way for the time of battle. We're told to arm ourselves with truth. Here's what you've got to know. Number one, if you're going to be in the fight, you've got to have a standard of truth. This isn't anything goes. All right? This isn't all is fair in love and war. There has to be a standard that you go by. Rules of engagement, if you will. Okay? Otherwise, you will lose and you will do more damage to the kingdom of God than you do good. What's the standard of truth? The standard of truth is the Word of God. Sometimes I think we really look at it as a book of suggestions. It's not a book of suggestions. This is how you live. It's how you do battle with Satan. If you try any other way, you will lose and loved ones will lose. You've got to get the lies out of the way. Establish your standard as the Word of God and stick with that standard once it's established. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know the breastplate, it was that front plate where that would protect the chest and the vital organs from frontal attack. The breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate of uprightness. You know what that means literally? It means being a... You say, Brother Doug, that's being right with God. Yes, it does. But let's put it into practical use. It means practicing what you preach. You can talk about love all day long, but until you face that time where it's hard to love and you have to decide to love anyway, even though loving is hard, you're missing the point. You're losing the standard. The breastplate of righteousness, this means that you practice what you preach. That as others look at you, they can see God living within you. Oh, I want you to understand something. You can ruin your testimony in about 10 seconds. And that's being very liberal with time. You can lose your testimony by what you say or what you do. You want to be like the rest of the crowd? Go ahead. Throw your testimony away. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is others are going to see you as you lose your testimony and throw it to the side. And they're going to see you. They're going to look at you. And one of these days when you would have had the opportunity to witness or share Jesus Christ with them, they're going to back up and they're going to point a finger at you and they're going to say, "Who do you think you are? Who are you to tell me what's right and wrong?" Very important, the breastplate of righteousness. Because it's what everybody sees. It's right up front. And it does protect you. It protects you from the frontal attacks of Satan, and attacks are coming. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Here's the big thing that we as Christians need to understand. That word preparation is readiness. And being a Roman soldier, what they would do is they would drive spikes in the bottom of their shoes so that as they would engage in hand-to-hand combat, they wouldn't lose ground. You couldn't push them back, no matter how hard you pushed, because those spikes would dig in. This being ready with the message, your message, the message of Jesus Christ. Listen, we've got to learn to hold our ground as Christians. You know what? We back up and back off and back down. And when it looks like we're going to be threatened, well, you know, okay. Just back off and quit. There are too many quitters in Christianity. No. You don't quit when the battle rages. You dig those feet in and you refuse to be moved. That's who we are. You go through the battle. You know, we talk about being Christians and everything, but listen, you have not lived until you've gone through the battle. You haven't lived until you've gone through the scars of battle. You got to dig in. Refuse to give up ground. And when Satan begins to bubble up within you and say, hey, throw, you know, a lash out and be hateful and be bitter, you've got to stand your ground and say, no, sir. They crucified my Jesus. They mocked Him. They spit upon Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. Nowhere did Jesus back up. When He was at the end of the crucifixion, you know what He said? It is finished. Paid in full, a literal translation. Don't you back up. Don't you give in to the deceit and the treachery of Satan. Don't let him beat you down. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You know what above all means? Most important. But I'm going to tell you what happens in battle. This shield protects you from the fiery darts. And the word that's translated darts there is not talking about the darts that we throw. Okay? It's talking about the arrows. Fiery arrows. Here's what's going to happen as you fight. It's going to get tough. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue. Sometimes you have to choose to love people anyway, even though they're not lovable. Sometimes you have to just dig in and stand your ground as the attacks keep coming. But you got to have that shield. Because when you can't push forward anymore, and the attack's getting bigger and bolder and harder, you've got to get behind something. Something that will protect you from the fiery arrows of Satan. What is that something? It's a shield. You see, the shield was very needful. It was something that they could get behind, and even though they would fire arrows, they just cower down, or not cower, wrong word, kneel down behind that shield, and it would keep those arrows off them. The arrows would hit the shield instead of the warrior. Listen, I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, there come a time when the only thing you can do is get behind the shield of faith. You don't know what to do. The battle's raging. It's beyond your power. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to move forward. The only option is trust. Trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior. You get behind that shield and you get there. Lord, I can't do anything else. I don't know what else to do. And you hold that shield of faith. Even though, Lord, I don't know what to do, I trust in you. Lord, work it out for your glory and your honor. Lord, I get behind you knowing that you're working all things for my good. Listen, when you put Jesus in front of you, I've discovered you don't have to understand everything. You don't. Just get behind the shield of faith. Trust that Jesus knows what you're going through. And He knows what you need. And you're never alone. Not only are you never alone, He'll never leave you or forsake you. And He's working all things for your good. Hold your ground. Get behind the shield. The helmet of salvation. Oh, you got to have head protection. You got to protect that noggin. Okay? If you're... Every once in a while, I take a little motorcycle ride. I do not pull my motorcycle out of the garage without putting a helmet on. Okay? I do not start my motorcycle without putting a helmet on. This is your pep talk. If you're a bike rider, put your helmet on. Okay? Why? Because this thing is not nearly as hard as you think it is. Yeah. You crack your melon, your melon's cracked. Okay? You got to protect. Spiritually speaking, you got to protect the mind. And what he's talking about is a battle for the mind. Okay? You've got to protect that mind. Attacks of the mind. Discouragement. Belittling. You've got to know who you belong to. You've got to, you know, that focus of the mind has to be on Jesus Christ. Because if Satan gets you distracted, if he pulls you away from church, if he pulls you away from your prayer life, he pulls you away from your Bible study, oh, he'll give you every reason in the world. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to Bible study. You're a target. And you will fall. You cannot survive without maintaining the mind. Winning the battle for the mind. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, listen, my friends. This is the best weapon you have. Or one of them. You got to get in the book. And you got to know when you get in the book that this isn't suggestions. This isn't, oh, try this, try that. You've got to know this came from God and it is the manual for how to live. God's way works. Your way does not. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. It will not work. Right? You got to get in the book. And I've had people tell me, Brother Doug, I don't understand. I read and I don't get it. Get you a translation you understand. If you've got a problem with the King James, get a New King James. If you've got a problem with New King James, get a New American Standard. Those are my three top, okay? But you got to get in the Word. You got to. And then finally, you got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to have a prayer life. Paul says, praying always. That means praying everywhere you are, everywhere you are, at all times, in all situations. I dare say our prayer life is pretty shallow most of the time. Maybe I just need to speak for myself. Oftentimes I pray, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes, a lot of times I'm just reciting words. And I'm ashamed to tell you that, but that has happened at different points in my life, and I get off my knees after praying, and I know, hey, you didn't talk to God. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the best friend that you have in this world and in the world to come. You can't shut Him out and expect to win spiritual battles. It will not happen. Okay? You've got to talk to Jesus. when you don't know what you do, when life is overwhelming, and we've all been there. If we hadn't all been there, we will be. You will be there, okay? When life is just tougher than you can handle at any one point, the only option is get behind that shield of faith and get on your knees. Lord, help me. When life, the attacks come, get behind that shield of faith, get on your knees and cry out to God. Because one thing I've discovered, when I can do nothing, which is most of the time, my God can do everything. Okay. Always pray. And I want to point one last thing out to you. Preacher, I don't remember where I heard this some time ago, a long time ago. But every one of these weapons are weapons that occur up here, the front. You ever notice that? Swords, helmets, breastplate. You know why that is? Because we don't retreat. Amen? You turn your back and run from the battle. You're completely vulnerable to Satan's attacks. You're saying, Satan, shoot me in the back. Satan, go ahead and destroy me. But you turn this way and you're completely covered. Listen, Satan's powerful. He's mean, he's ugly, he's deceitful, he does not like you. Make no mistake, he wants to destroy you. This armor is vital to surviving his attacks today. Don't back up. You may be here today and, boy, you're going through the fire. You say, what good is it to be a child of God? Well, let me tell you. First thing that comes to mind is I'm going to heaven when this life is over. Second thing that comes to mind, we win. Okay? Third thing that comes to mind is I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus Christ. Okay? You may be going through the world living high and happy. I don't need religion. I don't need that Jesus stuff. Don't be deceived. Satan doesn't like you. All right? His goal is your eternal destruction in hell. Well, you don't understand, Brother Doug. I'm not a Christian. Why should Satan hate me? Because you're human. All right? The battle has raged since the beginning of Genesis. All right? My advice, number one, make sure you're on the winning side. Are you a child of God? If not, you're going to fight the battles alone. And I don't know about you, but I want God on my side. The only way to salvation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life so that you could have eternal life. All right? Number three, quit trying to fight the battles of life with conventional weapons. They do not work. All right? If you're going through that tough period in life, you know, go to your prayer room. Open up Ephesians chapter 6. Read 10 through 20. Whatever, I think it's 10 through 20. Read it. And when you've read it, go back and read it again. And pray, Lord, speak to me. Help me to apply what's here. So that it's more than just words. But if you try on your own, and you try without Jesus, you're going to lose. Join the winning team, Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this armor that never fails. So many battles in this life. So many times we take up the wrong directions and try to do spiritual battles, Lord, with conventional weapons. It doesn't work. So, Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Help us to love others as ourselves. Help us, Lord, to take this armor and put it on. Put it on tightly. Fight the battle that You've called us to fight. Lord, now, as we come to this invitation, I pray that You would manifest Your presence, that You would convict of sin, that You would encourage those who are brokenhearted, that You would correct those who are wrong, that You would help us, Lord, to respond to You as You would have us to respond. We love You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.